Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. John 14. 2 weeks ago, I asked the question, what has happened in your life since you received Jesus as your personal Savior? Now, let there be no doubt, there should have been something that happened in your life since you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. You are not the same. As a matter of fact, Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things become old, and behold, all things become new. That's exactly right. Something should have changed. If you're the same as you were the day that you accepted Christ, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you did not get saved. You don't know the same Jesus that I know. Jesus came and He changed my life. There were some things that He didn't like that He had to get rid of. Amen? Now, there's still some things that He's still working on. But Jesus transforms each one of our lives. Is there evidence of a resurrected life in your life? I can't answer that for you. I can answer it for me. We looked at all 12 of the Lord's apostles quickly yet closely and saw very clearly that before the resurrection, Christ in these men they were kind of treading water, so to speak. But they were followers, and when Christ died, they all ran and hid. Some of them went back to fishing. But after the resurrection of Christ, everything changed. These once scared men became bold witnesses for the Lord, facing unbelievable ridicule, persecution, and even terrible deaths, all for the cause of Christ. What happened is that their lives were dramatically affected by the resurrected Christ. We saw 2 weeks ago that our lives should have such evidence present that the resurrection of Jesus has affected us in much of the same way today. Now today, we're going to continue with this thought. How can you tell that there has been a change in your life? How can you tell that there's been a change in your life? Look with me at John chapter 14. We're going to start reading in verse 22. John 14, 22. Judas, not Iscariot, not the one who betrayed Jesus, but Judas, another Judas, said to Jesus, "Lord, how is it you're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Let's read that again. Bob, you were paying attention. I don't know if anybody else was, okay? I want y'all listen. Listen. Jesus said this. Now, if Jesus says it, it's important, right? If Jesus said it, we need to pay attention to it. Now, if this was Brother Kyle saying it, well, you might say, well, that's not really important. But Jesus said it. It's important, right? Y'all with me? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my word. Did y'all see the contrast there? The ones who love me might keep my word. No, the ones who love me will keep my word. The ones who do not love me will not keep my words. The words that you hear, the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd be with us right now. We pray that you would still our hearts, still our minds, still our bodies. God, you'd help us to just sit still and open our minds to you today. Not to me, not to this messenger, Lord, but to the message. God, I pray that your people would be receptive to your word and your will and your way, that we'd be what you created us to be on a daily basis, God. This world needs to see you. It's time for us to wake up out of the shell of contention that we're in, Lord. The shell of just sitting still and sitting numb. God, this world needs you. Help us this morning to see that you want to use us, Lord, to shine our lights in this world today. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray, and all God's children said, amen. There's a question at hand. A question at hand, and it's seen in verse 22. Well, Brother Kyle, what was the question? Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, here's the question, Lord, how is it you're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Now, I want you to understand here and see this. Judas has just asked a good question. When somebody asks a good question, we need to give them props. We need to give them a pat on the back, give them a high five, give them a knuckle punch, maybe give them a hug, unless, you know, it's, you know, just make sure you're hugging, all right? But you need to give them props. Judas has just asked a good question here today, a question that many in the world still ask. Just a little different. Judas asked the question, how, Lord, will you reveal yourself to us and not the whole world? While the world today asks the question, how is it that Christians can see God but the world cannot? Well, I want to proclaim to you here this morning that your sight may be a little skewed. You see, I want to tell you something, and listen, you can count on this 100%. You see what you want to see. Do you hear me? You see what you want to see. Now, let me just give you a little explanation here. Let me give you a few illustrations here, if I may. This past week, Amy and I, we went to one of our favorite restaurants. And I ordered what I always order at this restaurant. I ordered shrimp. And there you go. I ordered shrimp and grits. And it came out, and the grits were in a bowl, and the shrimp were finely seasoned on both sides, and they were just nestled right on top of, Bob, you all right? Right on top of the grits, and right in the middle there was shrimp gravy with mushrooms, and I'm just the air just wafting up into my nose. I was like, oh, Lord, we are in your holy temple. I mean, I was ready to go. Good stuff. Now, Amy looked at it, and she was like, ugh. I said, sweetie, you got to taste this. And I gave her a taste, and she, I mean, I really, it was one step to almost cussing. You know what she said? She said, I just don't like it. I'm just like, blasphemy. Blasphemy. Well, what are you trying to say here, Brother Kyle? You see, the dish that was before us in the eyes of the beholder are two different things. When I saw that glorious concoction coming towards my table, I heard the Hallelujah's chorus. I could hear it. You know, I could take it. It was coming. Hallelujah. 2 times ago when I went, the waitress came up to me and she said, can I get y'all anything else? And she was coming. I know she was Mary Beth. She was wanting us to order dessert. I said, ma'am, I said, is there any way I can get a piece of bread? And she said, a piece of bread? I said, I want to get this gravy up off the plate. She said, really? I was like, yeah. I mean, I don't play about stuff like that. Yeah. Now, come on. To Amy, this is nasty. It's all right. But the eye of the beholder, you see what you want to see, woman. Do you realize that there are people who walk out into this world on a daily basis and they see what God has created and they just, it's no big deal. But I look outside and I see the majestic oaks that are out in front of our old sanctuary. And the thought process doesn't, you know, it goes much deeper. I'm thinking to myself, do you realize that this monstrosity that is hanging before us with limbs that outstretch over the buildings that scare me personally, because if we ever have a hurricane come through here, it's going to wipe the buildings out. I mean, we're going to be having Sunday school and church right here in this building. But, I mean, you look at that beauty and that majesty, Brother Frank, and I'm thinking to myself, all of that started from an acorn that a squirrel was hiding for the winter, and he didn't come back and get. The spring sun thawed that nut. The spring rains watered that nut. And God let this monstrosity of a tree being grown all by a nut this big. One nut. One nut grows pretty big, doesn't it? You see, we see what we want to see. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying to yourself, I just have a hard time seeing God, then open your eyes. Call out to God. Do as I did. God, please reveal yourself to me. There's not a person, listen to me, there's not a person in history who's ever cried out, God, reveal yourself to me, that my God did not reveal himself to you. Do you know why? Because he's God. He wants you to know him. He wants to be known. Listen, the secret to seeing this mystery and finding God, the truth to finding God is knowing this. Listen to me. He's not hiding. He's not hiding. God does not play hide and go seek. He does not. He is out in the open every single day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, making himself known that you might know him. God is here. He is alive. He is revealing and moving today as he always has. Church, the heart of God has never changed, nor has the love he has for man. If you cannot see it, it's not God's fault. If you cannot see God, it's not God's fault. God is everywhere. But please understand that if you cannot see God, there's a reason why you can't see him. Now pay close attention. I'm not going to keep you long this morning, but you need to pay close attention. If you struggle and you say, Brother Kyle, I just can't see God. I don't see him the way you say you see him. And listen, it goes deep the way I see God. Do you realize that if we were just 2 miles away from the sun, how different the earth would be? If we were 2 miles closer to the sun, how different things would be? We are perfectly centered where God can minister us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at his will. Hey, listen. If you cannot see the miracles and mercy and grace of God on a daily basis, there's a reason. There's a reason. Please understand here, church, there is a point in every person's life who has ever lived, or whoever will live, when they realize that what they're seeing could not make itself. And when you come to that realization, you come to that realization, you have to seek out God. Now, the conclusion you rationalize about who God is going to make all the difference to you in this world and for all eternity. So as you're walking through life and your wife has this baby and you're holding that baby in your arms for the first time and you're thinking to yourself, there has to be a God. That's God reaching out to you, God speaking to you, one of the many, many times that he does every single day. And you have to rationalize it within your head to either accept God or deny God, to allow God to reveal himself through his creation or to deny God. But let there be no doubt, you will do one of the other. You will accept God as you look through his creation, or you'll say, oh, this is just by chance. Just by chance. Listen, we make this way too hard. We really do. We make seeing or not seeing God way too hard. You know, we've got scientists. I mean, they try so hard. I want to give them a participation award. I really do. Scientists try so hard to prove their theory of evolution. They try and prove it so hard that they dig deep into caves and underground trying to find skulls of people and saying, see, here, this is proof that so-and-so man lives, you know, look at the size of the head. I'm like, you know, that's no big deal. I've got a friend who's got a big head. He's here this morning with us. That's not a Smith, and that's not a Waddell. That's a Pope skull. Isn't that right, Kenny? They're distant relatives. Hey, I mean, they try so hard to prove some theory. Just think if they would give that much energy to the fact that Jesus is the salvation this world needs. Think if you would. Think if you would. If you would give as much energy trying to prove to the world that Jesus is who he says he is. Second thing I want to address is this. Jesus answers Judas's question in verses 23 through 25. He starts it with one of my favorite words in all the Bible. What's one of my favorite words in all the Bible? Huh? If. See, Chrissy hadn't been a church member. We kicked her out of our church about 5 years. No, I'm just kidding. And she still remembers. If. It starts with if. We've got to stop here. You're going to have to do something when you see this word if. And this something is not for yourself, it's for God. You are going to have to prove to God that you are who you said you are, and by doing so, you will also be proving to yourself that you really do belong to God. Now, I'm not going to do that. I was getting ready to do something. I was going to step all over myself. Listen, if anyone loves me, he says, you'll keep my word. Now, did I leave that out? Hold on a second. No, I didn't leave it out. Okay. Jesus then goes on to say this. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Church, let's do a poll. As you're leaving, as you're leaving the building this morning, I want you, somebody, if you want to do this poll with me, stand out front. And as you're leaving, I want you to ask each and every person who walks out this door one simple question. Do you love Jesus? That's it. Simple enough. Do you love Jesus? Now, how many do you think will say no? None. Now, how do you think you would, how many do you think would say, yes, I love Jesus? Now, so there's got to be some evidence to support the poll numbers that people indeed do love Jesus. In other words, you ask the question, Colin, do you love Jesus? Colin's going to say yes. Okay, there has to be something in his life that supports his answer, right? There has to be something in each one of your lives that supports that answer. Just because you say it, don't mean it. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Now, I could give all kind of illustrations that would make y'all laugh, things that have happened in the past 2 or 3 weeks, but I'm going to give you the one that everybody always gives you. Hey, listen, if I stand in the garage and I say, every person who comes by, beep, 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 I'm a car, 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 boom, boom. That ain't going to make me a car. Do you hear me? And just because you tell people, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, 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 I'm a Christian, 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 doesn't mean you are. It doesn't mean you are. Okay, I'll leave that alone. What do you mean, Brother Kyle? Excuse me. What do you mean by those who love God will follow his commands? I heard you say that a second ago. Well, that's what we're doing. We're qualifying whether we are who we say we are. Because everybody says, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, right? Everybody. Well, how can we know? Well, you'll follow his commands. What commands? There's so many. Which ones? All of them. All of them. Well, let's just touch a few. Y'all want to touch a few? Love the Lord God with all your heart and all your mind. That's the easy one. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I took the poll. I love Jesus. I love Jesus with all my heart and all my soul. Church, if you love God the way you say you love God, then how is it that Sunday morning is all you need of God? That's all I need. I'll come in and I'll sit and I'll try to stay awake the best I can. Right? But Sunday morning's all I need. I don't need to learn any more about Jesus. I've got enough Jesus. Then you don't love the man the way I do. You don't. Hey, listen, I can't get enough of him. I feel guilty about not reading more than what I read. I really do. I feel guilty about not being in the Word the way I'm in the Word. Do y'all know yesterday I spent more time watching basketball than I did spending in God's Word? I'm just telling you. I'm being honest. We're guilty. But how is it? Oh, how I love Jesus on Sunday morning. Oh, how I love Jesus. I ain't coming Wednesday night. Oh, how I love Jesus. But don't ask me to do nothing because I ain't doing nothing for the man because he first loved me. Does that even make sense to you? Oh, how I love Jesus. I love Jesus, but there's no evidence in my life to support it other than Sunday morning message. That's it. That's all I got time for. Really. I sure am glad that he had a lot more time for you, aren't you? And that's if I make it on Sunday morning. Well, let's talk about another one. God said, if you love me, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. If we loved our neighbors as much as we loved ourselves, then where is your neighbor this morning? Look around. I see somebody, we ain't got a neighbor. Go to the fire department, Trey. Where's your neighbor this morning? Should there not be evidence that you love your neighbor? Yeah. Sometime in a year's time, let's just give it a year. I could use a week, I could use a month, I could use 6 months. But sometime throughout the year, if you love God the way you say you love God, thank you, brother, you should be bringing a neighbor to church. Well, brother, who is my next-door neighbor doesn't even like me. They probably don't like you because they can't see any love of God in you. Right? But listen to me. Your neighbor is who God places before you every single day. That's people not even in your, not just in your neighborhood, but people at the store, your waitress, your secretary, which, listen, hey, if secretary's week this Wednesday, love on your secretary. Brother Kyle, I don't want to. She's mean. Well, we're talking about the love of God in you, right? Love on your secretary. Mine's at a ball game. Listen to me. Church, if you love your neighbors the way you say that you love your neighbors, is it not just a little funny to you that throughout the year, a whole year, John, a whole year, that your neighbor doesn't come to church with you? That you don't feel compelled to invite your neighbor to church? How about this? Look, y'all did this to yourselves. I didn't do this. Look here. Y'all see this? Now, y'all put this up here before I got here. Now, I've been here for 5 years, and nobody's taking it down. Let's analyze this scripture here. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore, y'all can read it too. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Do you see please here? Brother Frank, how long has this been up here? Has it been up here for a long time? So this is actual, factual. This is, listen, Scripture. This is not, it doesn't end with if you want to. Or only on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 to 9. No. This is a command. Do you hear me? This is what God tells us to do. And by you putting it up here, right here in a prominent position, this means that it must mean something to you, right? Right? If this meant something to you, let me ask you a question. Why were there less than 20 people at CARE Monday night? Go. It doesn't stay home. It says go. What are we to do? You're to tell the world about Jesus. Tell the world about Jesus. We can't make it any simpler than it is. You can sit here for an hour, just like you sit at home for an hour, 1 hour, one time a month, and you can write cards to people. How hard is that? Hey, listen, Amy went this past week with a group of women, and all they did was walk the neighborhood and they prayed. That's pretty good. You're killing two birds with one stone. You're exercising and you're praying for the people as you're walking through. Me and Bill, hey, listen, we witnessed some chickens this week. We did. We also witnessed some guy checking our wives out as they were walking. They didn't even see it, did they? This is a command. Well, Brother Kyle, I don't get what you're saying. Jesus said, if you love me, you are going to follow my words. Do you really love him? Oh, yes, I love Jesus. Where's the evidence? Where's it at? If you love God the way you say you love God, then there's going to be proof that the love, and there's going to be proof that you're going to keep His Word. There's going to be proof of that love, and there's going to be proof that you are keeping His Word. Listen, church, He said this, if we keep His Word, then the Scripture that Jesus said this morning tells us that then, if we keep His Word, then, did you see the if and the then? If we keep these words, then God will love us. He will come to us and make our home with Him. What this means is that if we prove to God that we love Him by keeping His Word, and God will in turn send His Spirit to reside within us. Church, what we just heard Jesus speak is a contrast or a contract that He will not break. It's a contract. If we will keep His Word, He will come and reside with us. Contract. Binding contract. Y'all with me? Now listen, can I tell you why so many who call themselves Christians are in so much spiritual turmoil? Listen, if you're a Christian, you cannot lose your salvation, but if you are not following the Word of God and God's commands on your life, God is not beholden to this contract. He's got the contract right before you. He says, listen, if you will follow my commands, y'all with me? There's no wonder why there's so many people who call themselves Christians, got WWJD bracelets and a cross around their neck, are so strung out on these pills. And, you know, I can't function. Listen, get into the Word of God. Get on your knees. Start serving Him the way you want to. Get in the will and the way of His life. Listen, Scripture says that if you'll do that, I'll come and reside in you. And if God is in you, Lord, hey, what else do you need? Jesus then makes his statement very clear, seen in verse 24. Look at verse 24. Verse 24 says this: "The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. The word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me." Now, you might be sitting here this morning. Oh, let me back up. The one who does not love me, he says, will not keep my words. You may tell me all day long that you love Jesus. You may tell yourself and every person you know how much you love Jesus. You may have the song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," tattooed on my back, on your back. But if you are not keeping His word, then there is no real proof that you love God and that God's love is in you. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? You might be sitting here right here this morning thinking to yourself, "Preacher, you're being mean to me. You just don't know what I have to go through. You don't know what I have to deal with on a daily basis. How can you say that my actions prove that I don't have the love of God in me?" I'm going to tell you now exactly what Jesus just told those who were standing in front of Him. Look at verse 24b again. "The word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me." Listen, if you want to get mad at what I just preached, don't get mad at me, get mad at God. He said it, I just read it. There has got to be proof. There's got to be proof that you are who you say you are. Your actions, if you will follow His commands, follow His will and His way for your life. Listen, it's not that hard. What it really means is you just can't do what you want to do how you want to do it anymore. The Holy Spirit of God's living inside of you, and He guides you, and you yield to His commands. That's what you're doing. You are yielding to the commands of God that are in you and through His Word. Now listen to me. I can't say this enough. I'll never say this enough. The Word of God is going to line up with the Spirit of God. The Word of God is going to line up with the Spirit of God. Well, I don't understand what you mean. The Spirit of God is never going to tell you to do something that the Word of God says don't do. Never. It's never going to tell you something the Word of God doesn't tell you to do. It's got to line up. But there's going to be some sort of evidence in your life that you are who you say you are. Now, again, don't get mad at the messenger. If you want to get mad at God. Is there evidence? Is there evidence in your life of the resurrected Christ living in you? Is there? My daddy once told me years ago that as many Christians that they say there are on this earth, I sure haven't seen any. Let that sink in. As many Christians as they say there are on this earth, in this world, I sure haven't seen many. Church, it's time that we Christians started acting like Christians by being what God has called us to be, by loving others the way He has told us to love. It's time that we realize that God has blessed us today, that we'd be a blessing unto others every single day. Let me ask you one more time. Is there evidence that the love of God is in you and that you're keeping His word? Is there evidence? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we do love You and we praise You. God, I'm just going to be quiet and let Your Holy Spirit speak. I pray that He would speak to hearts this morning. This is your time. This is your invitation. If you need to come this morning, the altar is open. If you need to come spend some time with the Lord, you know your heart. You know where you are. As the music starts playing, will you come?